yourself and be broken in pieces. Assemble yourself from the east, north, south, and west and be broken in pieces. Take your counsels in the regions of the sea and it shall come to naught. Speak your word and it shall not stand, for God is with us.
We're going to talk about divine opportunities. Divine opportunities. That you have come into the kingdom for such a time as this. Esther chapter 4, let's read verse 13 through 17. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall there be enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house will be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come into the kingdom for such a time as this?" Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer: "Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish." So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. I want us to pray. Father, let us not miss this divine moment, this divine opportunity that you have set up for the kingdom of God and for the body of Christ at large. Let us be sensitive to your spirit and what you are doing in the world. We thank you that you have raised up Esther, which is not a man, a woman, but a position. A position of purpose to fulfill your will and bring forth the plan of God in the earth. Let us be sensitive to hear that anything that would try to assassinate, anything that would try to hijack our purpose and destiny, let it be overturned by the superior blood of Jesus right now. Thank you for ears to hear the word of the Lord and for the Spirit of God to move mightily, that at the end of this service, we will be in position to prosper. And everybody said, amen. God has a plan. That plan is always working. And you are part of the plan of God. Who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Everything you have gone through has been preparation. And to prepare means to be cut in advance for something greater, the purpose of God. The purpose of God is the intention of God. Matthew, we know chapter 6, verse 10, the disciples have come to Jesus and they've said, "Teach us how to pray." And Jesus responds in this manner: "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in the earth as it is in heaven." Thy kingdom, the basileia, the royalty, the rule, and the realm of God, come, which means has a forced compliance. Thy kingdom come, say it with me, thy will. The will of God is the determination, the decree, and the choice of God. God made a decision about your life before you were ever born. Purpose was already established, the intention of God, the determination of God, and he fashioned and framed the purpose person around the purpose. You didn't show up by accident. You have been sent. You are a sent person that your mother and father had to get together for the plan of God to come forth in the earth today. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. The determination, the choice, the plan of God be done in the earth. Two Greek words are different than the two English words in. The first word, in the earth, is epi, E-P-I in the Greek. And it literally means to superimpose of time, of place, and of order. As it is in heaven. It's a different Greek word. It is E-N. And it literally means that which has been fixed in position, in place, and state. In other words, the kingdom of God comes to earth where everything that has been forced compliance by the power of prayer to superimpose the determination and the purpose of God. What has been fixed in heaven is now being superimposed in the earth through the vehicle of prayer. What has been fixed in eternity, what has been fixed in position, what has been fixed in state, what has been fixed in eternity, has now been superimposed, I'm going to speak prophetically to you, has now been superimposed in the earth, in time, in order, in place, and in position. You have been raised up for such a time as this. Action Chapel, you have a job to do for Jesus. You cannot miss your moment, your divine opportunity. God raises up his people to seize divine opportunity for his kingdom and his purpose. He puts a Joseph in a place. He raises him out of a pit. Joseph's assignment was never to win Pharaoh to the Lord. Joseph's assignment was to have favor with Pharaoh by the interpretation of dream to preserve a posterity. It was for God's people. Esther's assignment was never to win the king to the Lord. Esther's assignment was to the king. She was sleeping with the king. She was speaking to the king. She was married to the king. Her assignment was to the king in order to preserve God's people. You have to understand that God puts you in position with some of the most unlikely people in order to carry out his purpose and plan. That the kingdoms of this world and the nations of this world will become the kingdoms of our God. There is a transition taking place right now. There is a shift in the realm of the spirit. Look at somebody, say, something's about to shift. Say, I've been sent into the earth. When you know who you are, then you begin to see and understand the purpose that you serve. When you understand your identity, the essence of your nature is in Christ alone, I live and I move and I have my being. You understand your why. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. The Hebrew word to be formed literally means to squeeze into shape, to mold as a potter. To be sanctified means to set apart and to dedicate and prepare. So you have to understand God has strategically squeezed you into shape and prepared you for the work for such a time as this. Everything you went through was not a setback. It was a setup because God has been squeezing you. It comes from the root word to vex. To vex is from the word trouble. You're going to give God praise for all the hell you went through and all the trouble in your life. You're going to give God praise for everyone that betrayed you, lied on you, walked out on you, didn't believe in you, because everything that was developing you for such a time as this, God was using those situations and circumstance. I'm not saying it was God sent, but I'm saying it was God used to squeeze you into your place of purpose, into your position for such a time as this. I declare it is the hour for the church. I declare the church is not just a denomination. It's not just one body. There is only one church, only one bride. You are part of the blood-bought church of Jesus Christ. And that is the only legal entity that has the ability to bring transformation into the earth. You're it. Somebody slap your neighbor. Say, you're it. Say, you're it. So there is a work that you have been fabricated to perform, a purpose that you carry. And in order to align myself individually to accomplish the assignment of God, then I must comprehend what is God doing corporately? Where is the kingdom of God? Well, you must be able to discern the promptings and the movings of the Holy Spirit and position ourselves accordingly. I declare and I begin to speak prophetically, because when I speak prophetically, it's not just to foretell, it's to tell forth, to shift you into position. That deep is calling deep. Spirit is speaking to spirit. And these are transitional days. The Spirit of God is telling you to the kingdom of God that the body of Christ, the whole world, is in transition. What do you mean by transition? To leave one place and to enter into another. The Greek word is metathesis, and it literally means removing. Meta is change. Thesis is a statement that is laid down to be argued about. So when you're in a metathesis, it implies a translating of a picking up of one thing and a laying down of another thing. That is a removing of everything that is not eternal. In other words, God will shake everything that was not his original intention. That which was his original intention may be established in your life. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in the earth. What am I telling you? You're going to thank God because some people had to be removed. Some people had to leave your life. They had to talk bad about you. There is a purging. There is a pruning because God is putting into position because he's transitioning. He is metathesis. He is uprooting everything that was built by the hand of man in order to establish everything that was built by the hand of God. God says, I am bringing eternity into the earthly. Because of the power of prayer, Action Chapel, you play such a big part in the plan of God. Under the divine authority of Archbishop Duncan Williams, God has commissioned you to travail forth the purpose of God and to bring forth what he has planned. You better look at somebody and say, I'm pregnant with purpose. I'm pregnant with something big. Now, why is this so difficult for us to understand? Quantum physics teaches us chaology. What looks like chaos on the surface actually has a pattern that is moving towards an intended end. God has an intended end. He declares in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. I know the plans that I have for you. They are thoughts of peace, not to harm you, but to prosper you. The word prosper means to break out, to break forth, to break through. God has a plan for you to break out of every generational curse, to break out of poverty, to break out of limitations, to break out of everything that would entangle you, to break out of every self-placed embargo, anything that the enemy has placed on your life to hold you into captivity. This week during the conference, God is going to cause you to prosper, to break through all things that are held in captivity. Your emotions, your finances, your purpose, your relationships. God is going to cause you to come out of captivity, to prosper, to break through, to break out, and to break forth. You will come forth and stand in the divine position that God has ordained for you before the foundations of the earth. You might be down, but you are not out. God is picking you up, and you are being placed into the divine opportunity. Come on, you've got to hear what I'm saying. In position that God has determined, thy kingdom come, thy will. It's a forced compliance. No man can stop it. No devil can stop it. No hater can stop it. Man's opinion cannot stop it. What God has decreed about you, God's yes over your life will be requested. God's yes over your life shall come to pass. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. So when we begin to see that God starts with chaos to bring forth cosmos, that what looks like chaos on the surface actually is a pattern that is moving towards the intended end. So I know the plans I have for you, says the Spirit of God, not to harm you, but to prosper you, to give you an expected end, which means a place that has already been intended by God. You will finish what God started in your life. According to Philippians 1:6, this one thing I can be confident in, the same God who started the good work is the same God who will finish it. Anything that would disrupt your finish, I block it right now. I overturn it by the blood of Jesus. You will not be denied. You will not be delayed any longer. But the Lord shall accelerate that which he has purposed in your life. You will be in divine position. The pattern is found in Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning was the earth, and the earth was void. It was dark. And here's where most people miss it. They think that God just spoke, but it says, and the Spirit of God moved, and then God spoke. You see, revelation only brings manifestation in a move of the Spirit. We must have God's moving, his promptings. The Spirit of God must move. Other words, the word of God will become of none effect because of the traditions of men. But when the Spirit of God begins to move and you speak in revelation out of the movement of the Spirit, that's why this house is so important to the world. That's why this ministry is so important to nations. That's why your connection and covenant to Archbishop is so vital for you, for your life, for your family, for Ghana, for the world. Let him that hath an ear hear what the Spirit of God is saying, because this is a house that God moves very clear and out of revelation establishes the determinations to be sent forth around the world. Somebody say, I'm part of something bigger than just me. I'm part of something bigger. So God starts with chaos. Now chaos, it literally means turbulence, to agitate mentally or spiritually, to cause inconvenience. Some of you have been caused inconvenience. You've been agitated, come on, mentally, spiritually. It literally means wild commotion, irregular atmospheric motion, especially when characterized by up and down currents. See, this is how I begin to know who I'm talking to. Your whole life has been up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down. The last few years you've gone through spiritual agitations, mental agitations, because out of chaos God is putting you into cosmos, the divine order of God. You have to let me lay this foundation to get you into your divine moment. Somebody say, it's my time. It's my time. So what looks like a mess actually is God's message. It's not your setback, it's your setup, according to Micah 7:8. When I fall, I need to read it. It says, rejoice not against me, O my enemy, when I fall. Not if, when I fall, I shall arise, which means I will come into my being. I will bounce back and continue. Some people counted you out, but it was God's way of showing who was really with you and who wasn't. They should have never talked about you. They should have gone public over you, because when they did, God said, watch, I'm going to give you a spirit of discernment, because you'll have a Joseph's heart that when you get in position, you will not do your brothers wrong, but you will know who they are and what they're about. So when I fall, not if I fall, be careful about talking about me. Be careful about counting me out. Be careful about saying it's over. Be careful about saying I'm finished. Be careful, because what God has for you, no man can take from you. So when I fall, not if, when, rejoice not. Oh, enemies, you shouldn't have your party just yet, because God's not finished. He showed me the end from the beginning. He showed me that nations would be shaken when I was 18 years old. He showed me how it would end. So God shows you the end from the beginning, just not all the mess in the middle. You better get this scripture in your heart right now. He says, rejoice not against me, my enemy. When I fall, I speak over you, Action Chapel. Come on, I speak over you. You will arise in the name of Jesus. You will come into your being. You will bounce back. And when I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be light unto me. Hey! I know I have to teach. So without knowledge of your identity, when you're in that dark place, without knowledge of your identity of who you are in Christ, it is hard to embrace your destiny. But when I know who I am, I have an intuitive awareness of God's purpose and destiny and the path that must be taken to get there. That's why I can embrace a radical disorientation, chaos, in order to experience a creative transformation, cosmos. When you are a called person, when you are truly called by God, the system will frustrate you. It won't make sense to you. You won't understand, because everybody else will look at you going down, because man's ways are not God's ways. And only those of spiritual eyes and spiritual alignment will be able to discern. So that's where you embrace a radical disorientation to experience a creative transformation, and you draw near. Somebody say, I'm drawing near. I'm drawing near. Because you must realize there are two kinds of people that God reveals to us that are relevant for where we're living in transition. leaving one place, going to another. You're leaving the wilderness, you're moving into the promised land. I'm speaking to you prophetically, and I'll tie it all together at the end of this message. They're found in the book of Hebrews. Now note this, Hebrews literally means abar. It means to cross over, to transition. It is rendered to pass over, to come over, to overcome on the other side. It carries the main idea of movement of one thing in relationship to another with four basic aspects. It means to go beyond or further. It is a spoke of movement between two places. It is a metaphor that means to exceed. And it carried a moral or spiritual meaning of to transgress. So in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 through 39, it defines these two types of people. And it tells, God says, you provoke me in the wilderness. There were those that provoked God, and there were those that drew near to God. So those who drew near with the full assurance of faith, and those who drew back into perdition, they were, when they shrank back, they were destroyed. The reason, because of persecution, the chaos. They couldn't understand the disorientation. They couldn't understand that that which was not eternal had to fall apart for that which was eternal to come forth. That which was not the will of God, while I'm preaching up in this house, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in the earth. What has been fixed in heaven will be fixed here in the earth by the vehicle and the power of prayer. The reason is because the persecution caused them to draw back. They could not handle the pressure. You have to be called to handle pressure. You cannot be a coward to stand in a position of divinity in this earth. You have to be fearless and full of faith. You cannot be afraid of people, because somewhere you will come to that critical place in your life where you make a decision of being a people pleaser, a person of purpose. And when you are a person of purpose, you cannot fear the face of man, because you are not here to please man. You're here to please God. You better look at somebody and say, it's my time. It's my time. So when they couldn't handle the pressure, not realizing it is needed in order to produce their faith to be activated, because faith is not activated. Faith functions under created tension. So for faith to function, there has to be created tension in order for your faith to be activated. So this is not a day to draw back, but this is a day to draw near. Now this is where I get to you, Esther. Because Esther is not necessarily a female, although she was gender-specific female in this situation. Esther is a position. Esther is not necessarily a male nor female. Esther is a position that has been raised up for the purposes of God. And this is not the day to draw back, but this is the day to draw near. As Esther will prophetically demonstrate, when Esther drew near, it would be a matter of life and death. If I perish, I perish. You aren't hearing me. If I perish, I perish. You have to get a mindset that you are so committed to the things of God that no matter what comes against you, you will not be moved by circumstances. You will not be moved by people. You will not be moved by situations. No man having his hand to the plow, Luke chapter 9, verse 62, and looketh back, is even fit for the kingdom of God. It means if you look back, you are disqualified. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You can't stop me from tithing. You can't stop. Just because you fired me doesn't mean that I'm going to stop bringing my tithe to God. I'll bring it off of my birthday money. Come on, just because I'm going through something, you can't stop me from bringing my talent to the house of God. You can't move me from my position. Remember that I've been eternally planted. Acts chapter 17, God decides your geography. God desires your location. You're not here by accident. You have to be under this ministry. You must be under this covering. God had designed it before the foundation of the earth for the impartation to develop you into your purpose. Had I not connected, which I've known Archbishop for probably almost 30 years, but it was in 2009, because God took 20-something years to to really get me ready, to prepare me and cut me in order to go to that next level. Had it not been, there's one strategic person that God has used in my life. There are many people that God's used. There's many people that have been great in my life, but there's one person spiritually that I would never walk in the divine intention of God if it had not been for Archbishop Duncan Williams. I would not be at New Destiny Christian Center. You aren't hearing me. I would not be from the highest office in the land to the lowest places. My husband would not be in my life. My son would be dead by now. I would not be holding my 5-month-old granddaughter had it not been for one purpose and even the one person. But even though I'd known him for 30 years, God had to prepare me to get everything that did not have eternal value out of my life in order for me to walk into the place of eternal value that God had for me. You don't understand. You are not here by accident. You are here by the purpose and the plan and the positioning of God for an impartation that God has ordained through one of his greatest generals. You better put your hands together for God's favor. You better thank God that you're a part of Action Chapel. Come on, you better thank God that you're under Archbishop Duncan Williams. So watch. Esther, it's a time to draw near. Body of Christ, it's a time to draw near. There might be a crisis, a problem, but God will always have a solution, prophetic answer. This is where problems are weighed against prophecy. Before there was a sin, there was already a sacrifice. Before there was a flood, God already had an ark. Before there was sickness, there were already stripes that were bore. Before there was brokenness, there was already restoration. Before there was a problem, there was an answer in place. Before there was ever a Goliath, God already had a David. And before there was a Haman, I'm going to work this for the next 10 minutes. Before there was a Haman, there was already a Mordecai and an Esther. Before there was ever a Haman. So you say, well, don't miss your opportunity. You get, let me understand this more. Let me bring clarity to what God is doing in your life particularly. In the first 5 chapters, we're told of the providence of God bringing a Jewish orphan to the throne. First off, that tells me that God doesn't look to your past to determine your future. That where you start does not dictate where you're going to end up in life. I started in Tupelo, Mississippi, born breech with an umbilical cord around my neck, almost killed my mother, almost killed myself. I started in dire crisis, as a prophet just told me, that my family's name had been written in a book that there would be a child born on April the 20th that would bring forth the greatness of God. So the enemy went to work early. My father commits suicide when I'm 5. I'm sexually and physically abused from the ages of 6 to 13. I do not hear the gospel till I'm 18. I'm living in a trailer, which is equivalent to a shack for you. There's nothing. I'm on government subsidization. I have no ability to take care of myself. I get pregnant out of wedlock. But God, who knew eternal destiny, I didn't know the enemy was messing me up. I didn't know that the enemy was trying to hijack and assassinate. Oh, see, God is a God of grace and mercy, that his mercies are new every morning. And you better hear what I'm saying. She was born an orphan, but she didn't stay an orphan. Just because you were born one way doesn't mean you have to stay that way. God has an agenda. Man has an agenda, and the enemy has an agenda. All three are operating. Which one you walk out is largely determined by your decisions every single day. For me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I'll choose. So he takes this Jewish orphan, raises her up. Vashti, who is the reigning queen, refuses to display her beauty and was disqualified from her rulership. God has no problem removing a Vashti. God has no problem removing someone who is not in alignment with the eternal purpose of God. He'll get them out of that place real quick. Some of you have places, you have positions, you have people that are tied up. But God says, I'll remove what is tying them up and I'll get them out of place so I can raise you up. I'm prophetically speaking to you. God's going to raise you up. The king wanted and desired one who would show forth his virtuous praise. When God positions you, it will be for the reason that you will show forth the glory and the virtues and the praise that only God could have done this. When God raises you up, it will be so you will preserve a posterity in the earth. So after Esther was purified with things that were both bitter and sweet, you had to go through the bitter. You had to taste the sweet. God gave you sweetness to give you a foretaste of your future, but he lets you see and experience the bitterness to build the character in you to handle the process. The inevitable events that would get you into your place of purpose. Look at somebody, say, I had to go through it. Say, don't judge me. Don't think you know me. I had to go through it. She was purified with things both bitter and sweet. She was prepared to draw near the king. You have to be cut in advance before you ever get in the position. You have to be prepared. Some of you are in the process of preparation right now, frustrated, thinking that God is not going to deliver. Just because it has been denied or just because it has been delayed does not mean that you will be denied. God is not a man that he should lie. So while the other girls adorned themselves with Babylonian trinkets and looking good on the outside, Esther, this is critical, you get this in the message, Esther obeyed the voice of Haggai. Haggai is a type of the Holy Ghost, for he knew what pleased the king. And the Holy Spirit will always put someone in your life that understands and teaches you language, teaches you the things that you understand that obey, that will please the king, that teaches you how to be prepared for that position. She was prepared for God's purpose, the solution to the problem. So Haman is raised up. I've got to get through this quickly. And Haman had decreed destruction. Now Haman, and here's where I go spiritually. Ready? Say, bring it on, Pastor Paula. Say, bring it on. Haman means the rager are the destroyer. So there is a spirit that has been sent to operate at high levels that is meant to bring rage and destruction upon God's people. But when that spirit is raised up, and let me talk to you about Haman, God also has a plan. He has released an Esther into the earth. Remember, Esther is not male nor female. I'm talking to you positionally. You have been raised up for such a time as this, and I'll tell you why. Because Haman, which means the rager, the destroyer, operates in the flow of his eternal nature. The Bible says in chapter 3, verse 1, that after these events, King Xerxes honored Haman, son of Hammedatha, the Agagite. So in other words, Agagite means that Agag was the king of Amalek. Agag's name means I will overcome. So when we look at Haman, Haman was an Amalekite. You go, why is that so important? Because Amalekites are the eternal enemies of God. All that which is not eternal shall be shaken. I'm prophesying. So that which is eternal can be established. Every spirit of rager, every spirit of destruction that has been sent into your family, that has been sent into offices and high level, every spirit right now God is shaking and removing, because they are eternal enemies to the plan and the purpose of God, and they shall be removed. Only those who are spiritual will be able to see and hear with an ear of the spirit. You better hear, because I'm prophesying to you. Action Chapel, you are so vital to what happens to nations right now, because you are spiritually carrying in the womb of God the purposes of God. For Mordecai will direct Esther in her comings and her goings, and you are crucial to the plan of God right now. For God has chosen you, not by accident, not by coincidence, but by the auspice, by the plan and the purpose of the Almighty God. For you have been in the womb of God to birth forth the purpose of God for such a time as this. Your prayers have not gone in vain, for you will affect the world and you will change nations, says the Spirit of God. Your prophetic degrees have not gone in vain. I know what you have had to go through, only to a degree by the revelation revelation of the Spirit of God in order to bring forth in time the eternal plan of God. You better look at somebody, say, for such a time as this. Say, I won't miss this opportunity. I will not miss this divine opportunity. You see, the spirit of the rager, the spirit of the destroyer, which was an eternal enemy to God. God told in Deuteronomy 25, verse 17 and 19, remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way, when you were come forth out of Egypt, how he met you by the way and smote the hindmost of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee, when thou was faint and weary and feared not God. Therefore it shall be, when the Lord thy God hath given thee rest from all thy enemies round about, in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess, that thou shalt blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under the heaven, and thou shalt not forget it. Watch, who did the Amalekites attack? The feeble ones. Feeble means the weak or the unsteady. Now, why are they weak and unsteady? They are exhausted from their journey. There's hidden blessing right here. And he attacked the faint ones. It means the weary or the languished, those who are exhausted from the fight. In other words, he only attacks you if you're not a spectator, but you're a participator. So he comes from behind, because the Amalekite wants to attack you from your past. He comes from behind and he gets you in a weak moment when you are wearied. But the devil is a liar, because Haman, he means the destroyer, the rager, will not, oh, you better hear, will not be able to accomplish with the plan of the enemy. He is broken. That spirit is overturned by the superior blood of Jesus. And God's attitude to the Amalekites, he says, I'll destroy you. I will, watch what he says, I will utterly blot you out. I will utterly blot you out. And so he tells them in Exodus chapter 17, Joshua and Moses go to battle against the Amalekites. And as long as they held up the hands of Moses, Aaron and Hur had to hold up their hands. You better hear me, because I'm prophesying. Right now, I commission you by the superior blood of Jesus to hold up the hands of your archbishop, to hold up the hands of the man of God. For when his hands are up, there will be victory to nations. There will be victory to the world. Do not let his hands come down, because he will defeat the spirit of Amalek through his sons and daughters that have been commissioned in the earth to go in strategic places. You better hear what I'm saying. And so when they didn't hold his hands up, they got defeated. Be seated, because I've got to teach you. So God says, you have to utterly blot them out. So in 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 47 through 48, Saul wins victory over the Amalekites. But in chapter 15, verse 17 through 19, he's rebuked by Samuel the prophet because he did not completely annihilate the Amalekites. Partial obedience is disobedience. You aren't hearing what I'm saying? Partial obedience is disobedience. You either obey or you disobey. And he said, destroy them all. And so the prophet said, what is this that I hear? And the reason he didn't destroy them is because he wanted to keep some of their goods. It was a spiritual transaction that would bring death upon them. The devil is a liar. 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1 through 10. David hears the news of Saul and Jonathan's death and inquires of whom killed them. Verse 8, he said, the boy was an Amalekite. So 500 years later, now I'm going to take just my time. How many years later? 500 years later, which is a cycle of jubilee. Now I'm spiritually, prophetically prophesying, and they really have to go deep with me to hear this, because you are in a year of jubilee. 10 is a number of completion. You aren't hearing what I'm saying? So when God says 500 years later, he's saying there's a cycle of completion, that jubilee has come forth. You are in a year of jubilee, that I prophesy that Haman the destroyer, Haman the rager, who would destroy God's purpose in the earth and who would destroy God's plan in the earth, there will be an Esther that is raised up that will come against the spirit of the destroyer, that will come against the spirit of the agitator. For it is God's year, God's set time. So 500 years later, you have to hear by the Spirit of God, because everything in your life is about to shift. Everything in your life is about to change, because those who are planted in God's eternal purpose will not miss this moment. 500 years later, after we see Haman and Amalekite doing what they have always done, trying to destroy the people of God, in Esther chapter 3, verse 9 through 10, if it pleases the king, let a decree be issued to destroy them. And I will put, this is Haman, I will put 10,000 talents of silver. Oh, I don't have time. 10,000. It's a completion. 10,000 talents of silver, redemption. Because the enemy wants to take your cycle of redemption and destroy it. So the enemy made a spiritual exchange with the king, who didn't even understand, because you have to, this isn't about the king. The king can be used either way, by Haman or by Esther. It depends on what's in position, because they are just a person that can be moved by the Spirit of God or moved by the spirit of darkness. We declare that we shall redeem that which belongs to us, that it is our year for the church, because the church shall arise in their jubilee and be the church in the world, that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God. Look at somebody, say, I've been raised up for such a time as this. He puts 10,000 talents of silver into the royal treasury for the men who carry out his business. So the king took his signet ring from his finger as an exchange and gave it to Haman, son of Hammedatha the Agagite, the enemy of the Jews. Now when Haman decreed destruction, then Esther drew near. I let you know into the secrets and the mystery and the profound things of God by the wisdom of God, that there has been a decree by the eternal enemy, by the name of Haman, which is an enemy of God by the spirit and the tribe of Amalek, to bring destruction against God's people. But God has heard your cries, and God has answered your prayers, and God is raising up in the earth. You better hear, I'm not talking about one person. I'm talking about a people that have been chosen for position. He has raised you up for such a time as this. So when Haman decreed destruction, Esther drew near again. God always has someone in place. She put on her royal garments. She put on her royal apparel. You must know who you are. That you are chosen by God Almighty. That you are a royal priesthood. You are a chosen generation. And she approached the throne. Who is she? Who is Esther? What is this position? Esther chapter 2, verse 7. Her name is Hadassah. That's her Jewish name. And it means the myrtle tree. The myrtle tree comes from the bottom of the valley. Zechariah chapter 1, verse 8. I saw by night, and behold, a man riding upon a red horse, and he stood among the myrtle trees that were in the bottom. Bottom means in the shade or the overlooked area. In other words, she is raised up. They are raised up where they have been overlooked. For every overlooked person, you think that nobody saw you. You think that what you did not matter. God says, man may not have seen, but I, the Spirit of God, have seen your faithfulness. I have seen your tenacity. I have seen your acts. You see, every time you bring your tithe into the storehouse, it is not for Archbishop. It is to honor God. And God says, I see every time that you have been faithful. When it was hard to give, you continued to be faithful, because the tithe does not belong to you. It belongs to me, saith the Lord. And if you do not bring the tithe into the storehouse, the Bible says you are cursed with a curse. Two different Hebrew words. It literally means you invoke demonic spirits to devour you. You open the door to a Haman spirit to bring destruction and to devour you. But God says, I see when you bring your tithe. I see when you bring your talent. I see every time that you have done something to advance my kingdom. I have heard your prayers. Other people have overlooked you. But God, who sits up high and looks down low, has seen everything that you have done. God has seen every act of obedience. God has seen your faithfulness when other people have overlooked you. And God says, I will raise you from the bottom of the valley. I will raise you up when you've been overlooked. I will raise you up when everybody thinks you are down. I don't know who I'm here for, but God has sent me to Accra for a people for such a time as this. It also means to settle through the shaking or the waving, the stuff at the bottom that is usually the best. In other words, it means you have now been settled because you have gone through a shaking. You have gone through a sifting. You have gone through chaos, a radical disorientation to bring forth a creative transformation. So who is Esther? Esther is raised up because she's been overlooked. Esther has gone through a shaking. Esther has gone through everything that could be shaken, would be shaken, so that that which was not eternal would have to be removed. You're going to thank God for the people who left your life. You're going to thank God for every closed door. You're going to thank God for every hater. You're going to thank God for every Judas. Come on. You're going to thank God for every person that came against you because they didn't belong with you. They could not go to where God was taking you. So God had to allow everything to be shaken so that which was eternal could remain. Do you know how privileged you are to be in this house? How privileged you are to be a part of Archbishop's covering? How privileged you are, come on, that which was shaken, when people would leave, they could not get you to go, because God has planted you here to not miss your purpose. God has planted you here God has planted you here to be loyal. Come on, God has planted you here to be faithful. God has planted you here because you have a heart to discern and an ear to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. You better hear what I'm saying. So there's a shaking. So if you're at the bottom, you become usable. Bottom is the lowest part of anything. So God has a plan. You're part of that plan. Why? God uses people familiar with the bottom. People who have been faithful at the bottom. People who have carried out the plan of God at the bottom. When you were overlooked, you still were faithful. When you were being shaken, you still were faithful. You never held back your tithe. You never held back your time. You never held back your talent, because what you did, you were doing for the Lord. And if I perish, I perish. But you cannot move me, because you didn't put me here. God put me here. Therefore, in Him I live, I move, and I have my being. Joseph would have never realized his dream without a pit. Daniel would have never enjoyed the providence of God without being thrown into that pit. The woman with the issue of blood reached his garment while at the bottom. So the second thing is, her name means evergreen. Evergreen means something that retains freshness and something that retains interest. Job chapter 19, verse 18 through 20. Then I said, I shall die in my nest, and I shall multiply my days as the sand. My root was spread out by the waters. My root was spread out by the waters, and the dew lay all night upon my branch. My glory was fresh in me, and my bow was renewed in my hand. Fresh means not faded, not worn. So the myrtle tree understands what it is to be remained fresh. In other words, your glory of God will operate through you. Glory means weight. It means splendor. The glory of God which is in you, for greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. The glory of God is coming forth. Talk to me, Esther, because you are a myrtle tree, and as a myrtle tree, you are evergreen, which means you don't lose your freshness. Just when people see the cloud has already moved on, but people who are not fresh are in a place that God no longer is, because the dove moved on, and all that's left is ass's head and dove's dung in a place of famine. But tomorrow by this time, you shall see fine flour. You better hear what I'm saying prophetically. What I'm telling you is there is a remnant that carries God's glory. They're fresh with God. They're fresh with the promptings of the Spirit. They're fresh with the moving. Remember, you can't speak and see manifestation without the move of the Spirit. But by the promptings and the move of the Spirit, there is an utterance of revelation that begins to establish the eternal plan of God. So when you open your mouth, then you begin to establish out of the decrees and declarations the eternal plan of God. Now, I don't have the longest time to get into this, but not everybody. You see, from a principle standpoint, the Bible says whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Principally, that's correct for all of us as believers. But if you put that in theological context, it's talking about apostolic authority. So really, whatever you open your mouth, Papa, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven, because he walks in an apostolic mantle. A lot of people call themselves something, but they don't have the fruit. They don't have the evidence of who they are. He is an apostolic man of God that has been raised up, that when he decrees a thing, it is established in the earth. You better hear me, because there's always a Mordecai to send forth an Esther. Look at somebody, say, it's my time. It is my time. So fresh means that the myrtle tree understands what it is to remain fresh. Esther understood freshness, and it never loses its leaves. It never loses its leaves. Blessed is the man who sitteth not in the counsel of the ungodly, who standeth not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and he shall meditate day and night, and he shall be planted like a tree by a river. And his leaf, you aren't hearing me, and his leaf, talk to me, Esther, evergreen, talk to me, and his leaf, and her leaf, and her leaf, and her leaf shall not wither. And because she is planted and her leaf shall not wither, I'm through with this. That whatsoever she doeth, put it back up. Whatsoever she doeth, whatsoever he doeth, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Prosper means to break forth, to break out, to break through. Whatever you do, now that you've been planted, unmovable, brought your tithe, faithful in the small things to be trusted with the big things, faithful with the first fruit, faithful in your planning a position, submitted under authority. It's illegal to have authority if you're not submitted to authority. Because you've been faithful, whatever you do, I prophesy right now, because you've been planted, that whatever you do shall prosper. It will break forth. It will break through. And even greater, it's about to break out. I declare a breakout reformation, that the nations of this world are going to become the nations of our God, that the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God, that God is not just about to break you through. He's about to break you out. You're breaking out of every captivity of finances, every captivity of emotional bondage, every captivity of assassination to your purpose and destiny, every captivity of your relationships. God says, I break you forth, I break you through, and now I break you out. You're coming out of every limitation. You're coming out of everything that has tried to hold you back. You're coming out because you have evergreen. They didn't think you would make it, but you're fresh. Your setback was really a setup, because now you are planted like a tree, a myrtle tree. Oh, you aren't hearing me. A myrtle tree. Esther You have been planted. You have white blossoms, which means you carry the holiness of God. I could keep on going and keep on going, but here's what you have to know. You ready? Everybody standing up, because you're getting ready to break out. I'm not just talking about a breakthrough and a break forth. There's a breakout that is getting ready to happen that will be so profound, because the body of Christ has been positioned for such a time as this. You ready? She is found. Her name means she is found. Myrtle tree means that she's found among briars. Isaiah 55, verse 6 through 13. It says in verse 13, instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. Briar means one that stings, one that burns as a needle. So Haman, oh, you better hear me, the rager and the spirit of destruction, God says, instead of the briar, I'm going to reach down into a low place. I'm going to reach down through the briar. I'm going to reach down through that which has stung. I'm going to reach down through that which would bring destruction. I'm going to reach down through that which has been positioned to bring destruction and to bring rage in the earth. And I'm going to raise up a myrtle tree. I'm going to raise up an Esther spirit upon my people. You will only be raised up if you had an attitude of, if I perish, I perish. So watch. He says, instead the bottom, I will have to reach down through the briars and find the myrtle. Instead of Haman, I'm going to give you Hadassah, which means Esther. So the king granted favor and extended the golden scepter, which is the emblem of authority and headship. When you have been faithful with what you have, faithful in your giving, faithful in your tithe, faithful in your first fruit, faithful in your honor to position, faithful with obeying authority, faithful with your talent, faithful. People say, why do you come to Ghana? It's your son's birthday. It's Thanksgiving. I said, because Papa said, come. When Papa says anything, I move. Everything gets moved when Papa gives a decree. You aren't hearing what I'm saying, because this isn't about convenience. Because remember, chaos means inconvenience. This isn't about your convenience. This is about your commitment. And so God's saying, you better look at somebody and say, I won't miss my moment. I won't miss my divine opportunity. Are you ready? Say, bring it on, Pastor Paula. The king granted favor and extended the golden scepter to those who had been faithful of what they had. They were granted divine authority. What you need right now is not money. You need authority. What you need right now is not just a building. You need authority. What you need is not just land. You need authority. Because if you have a divine authority, you can move anything in the spirit to release everything you have need of. Esther 5:1-2. Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house, and the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house, over against the gate of the house. And it was so when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, that she obtained favor. I decree divine favor upon you right now. She obtained favor in his sight. Father, I thank you for favor. I thank you for favor being released right now. Come on, the Holy Spirit wants to move strong. She obtained favor in his sight, and the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near. For every person that had the spirit to draw near, she touched the top of the scepter. The word top means captain, chiefest, place, excellent, first, forefront, highest part. It's the same as first fruit. It's the highest part. It speaks of the authority of the head of the church. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20 and 23. Why? Because there is a people who are forsaken all to touch and apprehend the top of him, the head over all. If I perish, I perish. But I will obtain favor and touch the top for the will of God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in the earth. You have been planted for such a time as this. And whatsoever you do it shall prosper. You're going to break forth. You're going to break through. And you're about to break out. Your family is breaking out of captivity. Your nation, come on, nations are going to break out of every spirit of rager and destroyer that would have the enemy's agenda. And the will of God is being established, because Action Chapel, God put you in something bigger than you even realize. Come on, you have an Esther spirit. I decree favor on you. You will prosper in the name of Jesus, which means you're breaking through, you're breaking forth, and you're getting ready to break out. And sometimes when you come forth, some people aren't going to like it, but that's okay, because when Joseph got in position, he had enough of the heart of God not to do his brothers wrong. Do not do people wrong when you get in a place of authority, which is why you had to be faithful over the little things. Because if you will do God wrong with small things, you'll do people wrong in big things. Be blessed.
We know that you were blessed by that message, and we look forward to sharing God's word with you once again. For more information on this and many other Action Chapel International products and messages, you may visit our Dominion Bookshop, located on the premises of Action Chapel, Spintex Road. Or you may call our offices on 030-701-1851. Or you may also visit us online at www.actionchapel.net. Once again, thank you for joining us today, and may your life continue to be changed in God's presence.